Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
That is the voice of Captain James T. Kirk, played by the great William Shatner. That is Star Trek, the original series, and that was my favorite television show as a kid. I worshipped that series. I was such a Star Trek fan, yes, a nerd as a kid, a Trekkie, that I went to Star Trek conventions when they would come through Oklahoma City. I would go as Mr. Spock for Halloween. I had all the models you could possibly have of the Enterprise. You put that together and I'd hang it from my ceiling, of phasers and communicators and tricorders, and I'd wear them around in my Star Trek uniform and play Star Trek every day. I loved Star Trek, and I've always loved William Shatner. So I would follow him, whatever else he did, movies, television, was a huge Boston Legal fan. His role as Denny Crane is seriously one of the great characters in TV history. Such a funny and at times really touching role. He played a lawyer, if you don't remember Boston Legal, who was old. He was one of the guys, as he would always say, with my name on the door at this firm. But he was starting to enter into a time of dementia in his life, and so he couldn't really work trials anymore, but he was still a huge figure, and he was James Spader's mentor, and they had a great relationship in the show. William Shatner's done a ton of great work, and I've always been a fan of his, and Captain Kirk was a hero of mine when I was a kid. So a couple of months ago, the good folks at Live Nation, they're great sponsors of a lot that we do here on The Ticket, they contacted Kevin and our sales staff and said, hey, we're looking for somebody to MC A Night with William Shatner. And we're going to do it at the Toyota Music Factory in Irving. And we're going to screen Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. That'll start at 7:30. Then about 9:15, William Shatner is going to do a one-hour Q&A in front of the crowd. And I saw that email that was sent out to everybody here at The Ticket, and it took me a half a second to respond in all caps, me, 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 hell yeah, me.
I can't believe you got the jump on me. I'm so pissed at you for that.
I believe I'm the most qualified to host a William Shatner Q&A, because as his people got in touch with me, they said, you're going to need 45 minutes worth of questions. And I responded to them, I've got 45 years worth of questions.
A lifetime of questions.
Don't worry, I can handle this. So Live Nation was good enough to allow me to do this, and the Shatner tour, they had to vet me, and so I sent an email of my Star Trek resume to them, and they were said, okay, they said, great, you'll do it. So he has a different host every night in every stop. He's been touring America. He's about to take this tour to Scotland, where he does these Q&As, and he was telling us that in Nashville, where he stopped about a week or two ago, Brad Paisley did my role.
Whoa! Yeah, cool.
He was the guy that did Q&A, and they even did a song on stage, because I believe Brad Paisley is appearing on William Shatner's latest blues album.
He's doing another album?
His latest blues album.
Or I should say his latest album, which is a blues album.
Oh, okay. I didn't know he had a whole series of blues albums.
And it's a tribute to all of the great blues artists of the past. And that's something that one of the million fascinating things about him is I introduced him. He's the most interesting man in the galaxy. He is into everything. He has done radio. He's done television. He's done movies. On his IMDb page, I believe he's credited with being in about 300 movies and television shows.
Whoa.
He has done albums. He's won Emmys. He's won Golden Globes. He does everything. And he still has this thirst to entertain. He will be 88.
Mm.
He is 88. He'll be 89 next month.
March, yeah.
Dang.
And he is still going strong. So over the weekend, to get ready for this, and I knew I wasn't going to be able to watch Wrath of Khan with all the P1s and everybody else who went to the Toyota Music Factory, because that was before the Q&A, so I had to be backstage prepping for the Q&A.
Mm-hmm.
So to get ready for the interview, I watched The Wrath of Khan, talked about that at 5:35 this morning. Still holds up. Still a wildly entertaining movie. The overacting from Ricardo Montalban and William Shatner takes it to the next level.
Yeah.
It's
an overacting duel.
Yeah. It's awesome. And the story is really good. And the special effects aren't bad for 1982. So I really enjoyed watching that again. And I read his book, his latest book. He's also an author. He's written three or four books. The latest is William Shatner, Live Long and What I Learned Along the Way. And I loved reading this book because I found out so much about him that I didn't know. He's a very likable, practical guy. And he's kind of had the image over the years of being either hard to work with or having a big ego and all of this. And I think part of that is true, but part of that is also a put on. And I think as you read this book, you realize early in his career, he was probably hard to work with. And he even admits that. But I think he's a really smart guy in that I think he's learned a lot from his life experiences. He's been married a lot. He lost one of his wives in a drowning
incident in his pool.
He writes about her. She was an alcoholic. He thought he could save her. He learned a big lesson there that you can't really save people who are in the
throes
of addiction. Exactly. He talks about his first marriage and divorce and that he had kids with his first wife. He talks about wealth. He's had great wealth. He's been dirt poor. He talks about the angles of both. He talks about he really is not a materialistic guy. And I really appreciate about him because he's a live beneath your means guy. And he said he never wanted a big Hollywood mansion, that he used to live in an apartment. And one day he was out jogging and he noticed this nice house up on a hill. It wasn't anything gaudy. He just thought it was a cool house. And one day he's jogging and the owner puts a for sale sign in the yard while he's jogging. And he says, I want that house.
How much are you asking for this house?
And it's a modest house. He's lived in it for 40 years.
Wow.
And I love that about him. And his friends, yeah. You know, once he started making a ton of money, his friends were saying, hey, you ought to move to this part of Beverly Hills. And he was like, no, why? I love this house.
That's great.
He's into the passions of life. He does a chapter in this book about being passionate and how life without a passion or two or three is an empty life. How you're not just, it's not just about passion in a relationship or passionate love. It's for him, it's passion in acting. For him, it's passion and he loves nature, horses and dogs. And
yeah, what are some of his weird passions? Does he have weird collections or hobbies?
I think his passion is horses. He still is a competitive horse rider. He does equestrian events. He won a world championship in a masters category recently.
Really?
Still doing it at 88.
Still doing it at 88.
89 now.
Yeah, 89
almost.
Next
He's about
month.
To dominate the over 90 category.
Yeah. His health is a passion. He can't run anymore, but he still walks a lot, and he does a lot in his pool, a lot of swimming. He's passionate about a lot of things in life, including his profession. And I found this interesting. He's still touring. He's still acting. He's doing a show on the Discovery Channel now, I believe it is. And he says that he still lives in fear at age 88 of the phone not ringing.
Not getting jobs.
Not getting jobs.
He wants to keep working.
He's one of the most accomplished guys of our generation, yet he still that fear still drives him. He still has that passion for his work. So I found his book really interesting and revealing, and it revealed a different side of the guy that you see playing T.J. Hooker or Denny Crane. Or, as he said, the modern generation knows him as the Priceline guy.
Right. And I want to say he made a lot of money on that Priceline thing. He was in on the early stages of that.
Really interesting you bring that up, because he wrote about that in the book, and I've always heard the same thing, that he made $600 million on Priceline.
Mm-hmm.
So he tells that story, and he said when he started doing the Priceline commercials, the company was so poor they couldn't pay him. So they said, we'll give you a bunch of our stock. And he believed in the product, so he said, fine. So when they gave him the stock, it was penny stock. It was worth 39 cents. As he starts doing the commercials, the company gets really successful, and the stock skyrockets. And one day, his penny stock that when they gave it to him was worth like maybe $1 million was worth $600 million.
Oh.
And he said, so the story is true. I was worth $600 million at but one point.
You have to sell it in order to realize that money.
But in the contract, they put these dates in there right. where he could not sell the stock. And once he got out of that window where he was finally able to sell it, the stock had come way back down to penny stock.
Oh,
all the way back down.
And he did sell it. It was maybe not penny stock, but he sold it for like $5 million or $10 million. So he did get something out of it. But he said the second he sold it, it skyrocketed back up to like $1,000 a share.
Jeez.
So that's another part of his personality and life experience that I really bonded with. Because I'm a terrible investor too.
Right.
And I'm always terrible at timing the market or investments. And so I was like, God, I'm a nature lover, try to live beneath my means, big Star Trek guy. So I found I had a lot in common with him. So I go into this evening really excited because I'm thinking, man, if I get a moment to talk to him, I want to talk to him about some of these things that I think we can bond over and maybe we can be friends. So, the movie starts at 7:30. They told me to be there at 8 o'clock. So, my wife went with me, and the two of us arrived.
Did you get there at 5?
No, I got there at 8. And I'm in touch with his tour director. And at 8, we get there, and I said, well, where should I park? And they said, pull into the back. There was a P1 working the gate at the Toyota Music Factory. And he took us inside to our dressing room. So we had a dressing room. And as we walked by the dressing rooms, he said, this is dressing room 4. This is William Shatner's dressing room. This is dressing room 5 where we're going to bring some VIPs. You guys have dressing room 6.
Whoa.
So we're sitting there and I'm watching NBA All-Star Saturday night on the TV. And I'm nervous. And I'm kind of pacing and I'm kind of going over my questions and how I'm going to introduce him. And then his tour manager who had texted me, I'm going to pick up Bill. I'll be back in 15 minutes. His tour director then comes into our dressing room. So I know William Shatner is 2 doors down.
He's in the house.
And he says he's got a big stack of index cards, probably 150 index cards. And he says, here, these are some questions submitted by the audience members tonight. You need to pick out the 10 best. Okay, so I have a job to occupy my nervous energy.
Good.
So I go through all of the, and I pick out 10 of them. And then he says, okay, you need to, you know, work those in, not consecutively, but just work them in and then work in your own questions. And I'll tell you, Bill will take a question and he will talk for a long time about it. He's stream of consciousness. You two will be sitting up here in these two chairs. And he says he'll get up and wander around the stage a lot. You just stay seated. Let him do his thing. He'll go off on these tangents, but they always end up someplace great. But you do need to kind of control him. You need to keep him on point as best you can.
Uh-oh.
And he said, but good luck with that.
Thank you. Have to say that to him.
So then he says, we're about now 30 minutes, 35 minutes from the end of the movie. So he says, do you guys want to go meet Bill? Yes, of course we do. So he takes us down into William Shatner's dressing room. We open the door, and there he is. He's wearing just a normal dress shirt and some slacks. And he's sitting on the end of the couch, and he's just staring straight ahead, and he's got a cup of hot tea going to warm up his vocal cords. And we walk in, and he has the biggest smile as he looks to us, and his tour manager says, this is your MC tonight, your host, Craig Miller.
Junior, it's so good to meet you.
I introduce my wife, and he says, please sit down. So we sit down in 2 chairs right in front of him, and he is the nicest, most accommodating, most genuine star you could ever meet.
Oh, that's great.
And he takes such incredible interest in us. And he's asking me all about my job and what I do. And we get into the world of sports and we start talking Cowboys. And he says, you know, because he's a big football fan. He hosts Monday night football parties at his house every week. And I told him, my goal is to just get an invite to one of your parties. And he didn't acknowledge that request.
Oh, yeah. You may have overstepped there.
But he goes, you know...
He goes silent.
He goes, Cowboys, what do people here think of Jerry Jones? And I said, well, that's a lightning rod topic. And he said, you know, from my perspective, his ego really gets in the way of them winning. And I said, bingo.
You should have said, and you should know about ego, Bill. And he goes silent.
But he really didn't have an ego. We got to sit there with him for 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Golly.
Just the three of us. His tour manager wasn't in the room. And when we told him we were newlyweds, he took a real interest in that. And he was asking all about...
So do you do things with each other?
And he goes...
Bill,
well,
that's inappropriate.
He immediately says, are you planning on starting a family? And my wife says, boy, you really get to it, don't you?
Because let me explain some things to you.
Bill, we already know.
So it was a... Can you imagine what that was like for me, being a Star Trek junkie? Captain Kirk is my hero, and now I've got 25 minutes sitting across from him, and he's as friendly as can be.
Oh, that's the best.
That is so cool that you got to experience that.
It was unbelievable.
I would have been freaking out because it was T.J. Hooker sitting in front of me.
Right.
That's what I remember him from.
Never watched that one.
Well, and I was such a Denny Crane fan from Boston Legal, too, that I kept thinking... I was thinking, man, he looks more like Danny Crane than he does the younger Captain Kirk, but this is still Captain Kirk.
It's extremely rare for someone to have two huge successful TV roles, much less three.
Yes.
Right.
Huge.
Mm-hmm.
So then before we leave, I asked him for a picture, and I had heard he doesn't really like pictures and autographs, and my wife had brought a couple of copies of his book, and she got him to sign both of those, and he was fine with that, and we took a picture with him. So I posted the picture of me and Bill Shatner on my Instagram. I'm on Insta because you know I'm big on Soch.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to see me on Instagram or follow me, I'm at Junes Miller, and you can see the picture of me and William Shatner. He doesn't look enthused, but trust me, he was more enthused than he looks in the picture.
I'm seeing the one that you posted on Twitter,
yeah.
And it's a faraway shot of taking you guys on the stage.
Yeah, that's a side stage shot of us. But
looks like you've baffled him with a question.
The right. Better picture is on my Instagram if you want to see that.
Okay.
All right, so now they come in and they say it's time to go on stage, and so we go down there, and they put a little Madonna earpiece microphone in Shatner. They give me a handheld. And now the movie ends, the lights come up, and I go out there, and I've got to introduce a little 2.5-minute video clip of Shatner's career highlights. So I give 30 seconds background on me and how excited I am to be here, and let's look at Bill's extraordinary career. And then once that's done, I said, ladies and gentlemen, the most interesting man in the galaxy, here he is, the great William Shatner. He comes out, the crowd stands, they're going crazy.
How many people at this event?
So I never could really see, but it looked sold out to me. I couldn't see, but as far back as I could see with the lights in my eyes and what was lit in front of us.
A couple thousand?
It was, yeah, I'm guessing a couple thousand. I never heard, but it looked like it was packed.
Well, you can make a lot of money if you're one of these guys who just tours around doing that. You know, Chevy Chase came through and did that.
Yeah.
You watch one of their movies, and then they do a Q&A afterwards. People will pay tickets, and there's zero overhead other than the rental of the theater.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you get to see your idol in a Q&A format.
So he comes out, I take my seat as I was instructed to do, and he wanders around the stage for the first 5 minutes telling stories. And at one point...
Did he have a baseball bat over his shoulders? He's walking back behind you?
No. At one point, he is talking about... He goes, the old Orson Welles film. It was his signature film. I can't remember the name of it. He's 88, right? Mm-hmm. And he turns to me. He walks over to me, and he looks at me, and I said, Citizen Kane? And he gets a big smile on his face, and he goes... Yes, and he extends his hand, and he goes, it's great to have you here tonight, Craig.
Oh, wow.
So I'm helping him out.
Uh-huh.
And so the whole hour is me trying to keep him on point, trying to work in as many questions as I can. I got to about 10 audience questions. I got to about 10 of my own. This was the moment that probably got the biggest laugh of the night. This was one of the questions from the crowd.
All right, we're going to get intimate here, if you don't mind. Boxers or briefs?
Boxer or briefs? Did you ask me that?
That's what I asked you, yes.
Depends.
Pretty funny line.
Yeah. Funny line.
Pretty funny line. An 88-year-old delivering that. That got a huge laugh. A lot of his stories got really big laughs. He is a great storyteller. Great.
How does he not have old voice?
I know.
Old men always have those real weak voices when they're 90.
It really doesn't sound any different than it did right. 20 or 30 years ago.
He's got a strong voice. He's got an incredible stage presence. He's a great storyteller. He told so many funny stories from Star Trek episodes and filming and Boston Legal and all of this. And the one time that I really made him laugh was one of the questions from the audience was, how many different aliens did you sleep with in the Star Trek series? And he laughed and he goes, you know, that was a great time being a young actor, and I'm always opposite these attractive young actresses, and we have to do all these romantic scenes. And I said, you know, you were kind of the Wilt Chamberlain of outer space. And he took a double take at me and then got a big smile and started laughing. So so I made him laugh, which was a great moment.
Sports joke, too.
But in general, I saw a lot of opportunities for really funny lines, but I always backed off because I didn't want to ever upstage him.
Mm-hmm. You didn't want to be Gordo?
Like I didn't
go a joke too far with a celebrity.
Yes.
And shut the evening down early.
Yeah, just shut her down.
No one was there to see me. They were all there to see him. And he was such a huge presence that I just said, you know, be the rudder of the evening. Just try to keep him on pace and on point. And if you have an opportunity for one or two funny lines, do it. But this is about William Shatner. And in all honesty, he probably didn't even need my help that much up there. He could have gone out there by himself for an hour and been fine.
I don't know. Maybe he's going to call you and want you to go on tour with him.
Junior, I have some more dates booked in Los Angeles.
That would be a dream come
I want
true.
You.
Or maybe you will get that invite for the Monday night football party.
So he told this one story at the end where he was filming Star Trek, the motion picture, and he was in his Captain Kirk uniform, and he got pulled over for a speeding ticket. And he has to get out of the car, and the cop looks at him, and he goes, where are you going? And Kirk said, Shatner said, I figured I'd just go with the whole thing. And so I turned to the cop and I said, I got to get to my spaceship. So the cop goes back, runs his license and ID, comes back and goes, live long and prosper. And lets him go. And the crowd loves that. And that's how he ended the night. And then afterwards, walk off stage with him, go back up to the dressing room. And I said, was everything okay? And he said, it was great. You were wonderful. Then I turned and left, and that was my evening with Captain Kirk.
You watched
William
him
Shatner.
Walk out the door, and you're smiling, and you pulled out the gun and put it to your head.
Because it can't get any better than that. So thank you to the Toyota Music Factory. Thank you to Live Nation for allowing me to hang out with Captain Kirk for an hour. Really, for more than that, for a whole evening, including the backstage session with him. It was just great. It was the evening of a lifetime.
Awesome.
All right. Coming up next, let's talk to Tiger Woods about him falling apart this weekend at his tournament.